Today on Hardwired.
Church, can I inform you today that here you are. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And you are not here today by mistake. You are right smack dab in the middle of God's plan for your life. You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this.
Welcome to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some words of hope, encouragement, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, hardwired.org. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, hardwired.org. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Hardwired.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you so very much for joining us. Well, in our Bible Blockbuster series, we're dealing today with one of my favorite Old Testament stories. I never read this story from stem to stern without it bringing tears to my eyes, and I really mean that. And that's the story of Joseph and how much rejection and betrayal he experienced and went through, but somehow he came out on the other side. I've always been able to be strengthened by this story in the midst of my own experiences with rejection and betrayal, because very few of us are rejected to the level of Joseph. I can't wait to share part two of this stirring message, Joseph, the ultimate survivor. Let's go.
Jacob had 12 sons. Now, he loved Joseph so much that he made him a coat of many colors, which was a sign of his favor towards Joseph. He favored him. So he wore this flashy coat around, many colors. None of the other boys had one, and it just sort of smacked of, yeah, this is my favorite boy, and Joseph was really the teacher's pet. God began to speak to him when he was a teenager, and he spoke to him through dreams. And in these dreams, he saw something. He saw himself in a very exalted position, and he saw his brothers bowing down to him. And his parents. So he went up to his brothers who already didn't like him at all. Said, guess what? I had a dream. It was from God. I saw your future and mine. Really? Well, what'd you see? You were bowing down to me, dude. The brothers saw him coming and said, we'll see what happens to this dreamer. We'll see about this dreamer. And they found an empty well. They attacked this signal, this sign of Jacob's love, and tore it off of him. And they threw him down into this well. They pulled him out of the pit. And I think he probably said, man, that wasn't a funny joke. I'm going home. But he looked at their face and knew this is serious, because they furrow-browed, angry face. They took him up to the slave traders and said, what do you give us for this young man? They paid for him. They shackled him, chained him, and put him in this caravan and began to take him away. Joseph forgave these people who had wronged him, and he passed the forgiveness test. And then the second child he named was Ephraim, meaning God has made me fruitful in the land of my pain. Oh, I love that. You know what God loves to do? He loves to bless you while the devil watches. He loves to bless you, and the devil can't do a thing about it. I think of David. Thou preparest a table before me in the very presence of my enemies. While the devil watches on, God blesses me, and the devil can't do a thing about it. Listen, where the enemy has tried to destroy you and hurt you, and where you have pain, God intends to bless you and make you fruitful in the very land of your affliction. You ought to give God praise for that. I love it. Now, it's important to note that forgetful preceded fruitful. It's only when we forgive that we're free to become fruitful. And that's what the forgiveness test is all about. See, God wants to bless you and me. We all have a gift. We all have a calling. We all have a purpose in life. And it's more than your 9-to-5. It's more than your 401k. It's more than where you live or who you married. God has his hand on your life. You are a child of destiny, a child of purpose, a child that God has a plan and a purpose for. And guess what? You're going to be tested with a forgiveness test that is going to come along, that's going to decide whether or not you achieve and attain and apprehend what God has for you. Every person within the sound of my voice will have to pass the forgiveness test at some point in life. Somebody's going to wrong you. Somebody will offend you deeply. Probably somebody close to you, somebody you trusted, somebody you counted on, somebody you love. You remember who kissed Jesus? Judas. The Judas kiss comes to all of us at one time or another, and the test is what you do with it. And I want to give you a word today. Some of you are in a forgiveness test right now. Listen, nobody, no place, no thing is worth your destiny in God. Forgive and move on. You say, well, I don't feel forgiveness. You're not supposed to feel it. You're mad. The Bible says that your tongue is the rudder of your life. There's this great big ship, but underneath that ship is one little rudder. And it's not the wind blowing the sails that decides the direction of that ship. It's the rudder underneath. And your tongue is the rudder. And what you say is the way your ship is going to go. So you just say, well, I'm going to obey God. I forgive. And it's not easy. It comes out like castor oil. You don't want to say it. You don't feel it. You want to judge. You want to take vengeance. You want to go against them. But God says, forgive. If anybody could have held bitterness, it was Joseph. If he had refused to forgive his betraying brothers or Potiphar's lying wife or the selfish butler and baker, he would have died a bitter, angry old man rather than a prince in Egypt. Who do you need to forgive today? What offense is blocking you from achieving what God has for you? Say it, I forgive them. Say it, I pray for them. Say it, I let them go. Say it, because there is a future ahead of you that is so bright, you need shades on to look at it. Now, Joseph passed, and he passed with flying colors. He forgave. But then he came up against the providence test. How in the world, let me ask you a question. How was Joseph able to stay afloat in such treacherous waters? Betrayed, forsaken, forgotten, lied about. At every turn, he had a disappointment, a disillusionment, a letdown. How did he stay afloat? I'm going to tell you, he had a secret. And I'm going to tell you his secret. And I believe this secret is the reason he was able to forgive like he did. His secret was this. It was his understanding and his acceptance of the providence of God. Say, Pastor Jeff, I don't know what you mean. It's real simple. Providence says God's got everything under control. Providence says no matter what happens to me, God's going to work it together for my good. Providence says that the devil never says checkmate over my life. God does. The providence says, I know he's got it. So I'm going to trust that no matter what I see, no matter what I experience, no matter what I go through, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of purpose. I'm a child of destiny. I'm a child of promise. And my God is going to make all things work together for good because he's the one in charge. The devil is a dog on a leash. He is not in control. Neither are men. God is provident. Can you say with me, God is sovereign over all things? Joseph tells us he believed this over and over again. He says it when he finally revealed himself to his brothers years after their betrayal. He told them, quote, and now don't be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For, listen, God sent me. Wait a minute, Joseph, you got it wrong. We read the story. God didn't send you. They did. They sold you up the river. They betrayed you. They're the reason you ended up in Egypt. Joseph said, no, you're not looking through the eyes of providence. You're looking through the eyes of the natural. When you look through the eyes of providence, I'm God's child. And I've come to an understanding that they didn't send me here at all. God used their evil for my good. What they meant for evil, God turned it for my good. God wanted me here. His plan was for me to be here. So God just took what people tried to do to me and worked it out for my good. Notice he did not say to them, you sold me into slavery and you sent me here. His testimony was, I know that God sent me here. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord will uphold him with his hand. Our God is a sovereign God. Joseph knew that God had brought him to that place for that hour, for that purpose. It's what Mordecai said to Esther. You have come to the kingdom sovereignly and providentially for such a time as this. Church, can I inform you today that here you are. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And you are not here today by mistake. You are right smack dab in the middle of God's plan for your life. You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Right now. Every one of you. He told his brothers again, quote, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Those brothers who wanted to kill him, he was called to keep alive. Because you see, folks, a famine was coming. A great worldwide famine was in the near future, just around the corner. No one knew it but God. And so God took Joseph and sovereignly used what men meant for evil. God worked it for the good. He sent Joseph into Egypt. He put Joseph second under Pharaoh. And Joseph had a plan to store up 7 years worth of food because it was going to be a 7-year famine. So when the famine struck and there was no food anywhere in the world, those brothers traveled to Egypt and they had to bow down to Joseph, who had the food, who had the money, who had the lodging, who had everything. And he kept them alive. By the plan of God, Joseph saw the bigger picture. Do you? There's always a bigger picture. There's what you see in the natural, and there's what is really going on in the spiritual world.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Now, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry. You can find the program at our website, hardwired.org, along with all of the programs from Pastor Jeff. Also, we regularly get emails and calls from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we would love to hear from you too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111 or through the website, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. Or call 877-884-3111. And now let's get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
He had been sent by God to Egypt to keep the very brothers alive who had betrayed him, because out of him and their descendants, the Messiah would come. Joseph was called to keep the messianic lineage alive in a time of famine. After his father Jacob died, Joseph again stated his lifelong conviction to his brothers. We all know this one. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Now, I want to be clear about something. God was not the source of the evil that was perpetrated against Joseph. But Joseph knew that God was in complete control and was working through his painful experiences to bring about his divine purpose for Joseph and for the messianic lineage. What are we saying? We're saying that even when people wrong you, Psalm 76:10 says, God makes even the wrath of man to praise him. God's bigger than your enemies. He's bigger than the devil. He's bigger than your circumstances. What men try to do to you for evil, God will turn it for your good. You can't lose. You are in a win-win because you're following the Lord and the Savior and the Master of life. His name is Jesus Christ, and he has decreed No matter how bad it looks, and believe me, it couldn't have looked worse. Can you imagine waking up in a dungeon, separated from family and friends and your daddy and your home and your posterity, your life, for something you didn't do? And could you get up then and praise God? Could you even care what a butler and a baker from Pharaoh were worried about when Joseph said to them, "What's the matter? Let me help you"? How could he have had that heart? He knew that providence was moving. Romans 8:28 was written after Joseph, but it was his message. Joseph believed Romans 8:28 before it ever came along. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. We know. Do you know it today? We know. God makes everything work together for good. All things. That's a lot of things. Do you know what all means in the Greek? All. That means the good, the bad, the hard, the disillusioning, the disappointing, the letdowns, the difficulties, the strains, the stresses, everything, all things. There's not one thing that can come into your life that God does not make bow to his purposes in your life. If you don't get bitter and don't walk away in unbelief, God will work it for your good. God was moving in a way that even Joseph could not have believed. There are hundreds of Bible verses declaring God's sovereignty. Listen to this. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, "What are you doing?" The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. Isaiah 46:10 says, "Only I can tell you, says God, the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish." That's our God talking. Nobody says to God, "What are you doing? What do you think you're up to?" God says, "Hey, I do whatever I wish. I'm God." That means he's sovereign. If we really believe this, we would accept life as it comes to us with a lot less complaining. I've discovered that when I really began to get a grip on providence, that it took a lot of stress off of me. It took a lot of stress. Because you just say, "Lord, I'm under your hand. You're guiding my steps. You're the Lord of my life. And you are in charge of your universe. So I trust you." Do you? Even when things aren't going right, and you go into the office and there's a pink slip on your desk, or you wake up one day and that person you were with is gone, and nothing makes sense, and it looks like the devil is in charge and winning the day. Can I tell you, child of God, he never wins the day in the life of a child of God. He may win a few battles, but he will never win the war. Because God is going to work it for your good. Can you say it with me? God is going to work it for my good. Let's try it. God is going to work it for my good. Joseph believed this, so he passed the providence test. But there was one more test, and I'm going to talk about it in closing, the proving test. Listen to what Psalms 105:19 says about Joseph. God sent a man before them, Joseph. So there's the psalmist agreeing with Joseph's take. God sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons. He was chained up until the time that his word came to pass, until the time God's dreams came to pass, the word of the Lord proved him. He had to pass the proving test, because here's this dream he's got from God, but nothing around him looks like it's being fulfilled. So he had a decision. Do I believe God, or do I believe my circumstances? Do I believe God, or do I believe what life is saying to me? Do I believe the word of the Lord, or do I believe men? Let God be true and every man a liar. The word of the Lord proved him. When he was betrayed, the word of the Lord rose up and said, "My dream will come to pass for you." And he had to choose to believe the word over circumstances. When he was thrown into prison for a lie, he had to believe God. The word of the Lord proved him, refined him. That word "proved" is used in Scripture to describe the refining process of silver or gold. So the Bible reveals that God's word refined, proved, tested, purified Joseph's faith. to make it like pure gold. And when you think about it, Joseph was not reaping what he had sown. And I guarantee you this occurred to him because he hadn't betrayed people, yet he was betrayed. And he wasn't being disciplined for sins he had committed because he's one of the few in Scripture who did not commit any outstanding sin. So what was happening in Joseph's life? God's word was testing and proving and refining his faith, and that's exactly what it does with you and me. Most of you in here have a word from God in your heart that has not yet come to pass in your life. Circumstances tell you one thing, but the word of the Lord tells you something else. And you've got a choice. Do I believe God's word? Do I cling to God's word? Or do I cave in and give in to my circumstances? Joseph said, not me. He gave me a dream. And I trust providence. Do you? The word of the Lord proved him. His family would bow down to him. He'd be in a place of great prominence. Joseph's faith in God's word to him was tested greatly by contrary circumstances. And this proving process, are you ready, lasted around 20 years. It takes God a lifetime to make a man, to make a woman of God. It doesn't happen overnight. Your faith is going to be tested and tried and proven. But God will come through for you. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, why would God need to prove my faith? He gave me the faith. Why won't he leave my faith alone? I believe in him. Why all this proving? Why all this? Why would God make me go through this? Well, I'm going to tell you why. James says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing, the proving, the trying of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Everyone in here, God wants you perfect, complete, and not lacking in anything in your faith. God wants his children to be overcomers, strong and mature in our faith, people who can face a storm with a smile. Well, I don't face storms with smiles. I shake and I rattle and roll. I don't do good with storms. Listen, you get to the place where you face storms with a smile. I was reading 2 Timothy this week, and Paul's at the end of his life, and he just kind of tells Timothy, the time of my departure is at hand, like he's telling him it's 2:00. You know why? Because he could smile at a storm. He said, I have finished my course. I've fought the good fight. I've run the race. So I just face my coming execution with a smile. Can you face a storm with confidence that the providence of God is in charge? Now I'm going to ask that again. If everything went haywire, can you face a storm with the confidence that the providence of God is overruling everything that is taking place? And God has it, and he's going to bring you to the other side, and your faith is going to be proven, and you're going to be perfect and mature, lacking in nothing. Do you believe that? So say with me, Joseph passed the forgiveness test. He passed the proving test. He passed the providence test. One day the guard comes down and tells him, you're going up to Pharaoh. Next thing Joseph knows, he's interpreted a dream. He is being given a robe, a ring, and Pharaoh is telling the whole land of Egypt, this guy, when he rides by, bow. And his brothers, we better go get some food. Before they knew it, they don't even recognize him, but they come up to him, we need food, and they all bow down to him. You think he didn't get Holy Ghost bumps right about then? They all bowed down to him right there. There's my dream. Well, it took a while to get here. It didn't happen near as quickly as I thought it would, but it happened. They bowed down to him. Jacob, his dad, is told that he's alive. That gets me every time. He goes up to him, hugs him, weeps on him. They cry on each other, and then he bowed down. God's word will come to pass. He's provident.
Thanks for listening today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, hardwired.org. That's 877-884-3111 or the website, hardwired.org. While you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff. We know they've been an encouragement to you, so be sure to forward them on to a friend who you think needs to hear today's message or any of the messages there at the website. It might be the very thing they need to be encouraged as well. Again, the website is hardwired.org or call us at 877-884-3111. If you haven't been to the website lately, jump on over there and take a look at all we have for you. One last thing, your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Hardwired is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift through our website, hardwired.org, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly do appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Hardwired.